Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Isn't this a sports show?
Papa, tell me about the radio days.
Oh, well, there were many, many struggles and many difficulties.
Almost entirely.
I remember hearing this one radio show where they did nothing but visual gags on an audio medium. The host did a whole segment with his nose taped to his forehead.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Papa, whatever happened to him?
Son, I don't think you're ready for that story. All I can tell you is don't do cocaine.
Too late, Papa. I learned it from watching you.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
You did this to me, Papa. I just wanted to be like you, Papa.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
We're back, baby. And just in time for, really nothing else going on in the world tonight. Just a straight up and down sports evening of talking about the Chiefs and maybe some other stuff. You don't have any other plans, do you? Welcome in. It's an Almost Entirely Sports on a Tuesday, which we haven't had in a remarkably long time because we've had so many sports for you here on Sports Radio 810. We've had the NBA playoffs. We had the Major League Baseball playoffs. We've had all of that madness. We had some sporting here and there. We've had an AES slip in here and there as well. But tonight, 3 hours, 8 to 11. Tomorrow, 8 to 11. And obviously, tonight, there's a lot of other things going on in the world as the presidential election, the general elections are wrapping up across the country. And you know, we're going to get results in throughout the course of the show and everything. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you kind of your menu options, and we're going to make a choice today. Tonight, we're not going to, acknowledge, we're not talking about it down here on the 810 side of things. We'll see what happens tomorrow. By tomorrow, I'm not going to live and die over the course of this show on everything that comes across the ticker. I'm not going to update you on it. There are plenty of places you can get that. I obviously am happy to talk about pop culture and social issues and even the serious ones that come with the silly ones and all that. But tonight, I don't want to do election coverage basically this evening, so we're not going to. If you want to get election coverage on the radio, just kick it over a little bit to our sister station over to ESPN Kansas City. It's 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. It's where we do SportsCenter Kansas City every day. You can go listen down there to live coverage simulcasted over there on ESPN Kansas City. And here tonight, we're going to talk about other stuff that I think is fun and interesting and give you a reprieve. If you listen to the podcasts later, don't worry that you're going to have me, trying to figure out what state goes where over the course of this show. No, we have some incredible guests tonight, and it's going to be really fun, and we're going to have a good show just doing kind of all of those things. And then, tomorrow's tomorrow. We'll see how things go and what stories come out of tonight and all that. But we're not going to try to play catch-up with them tonight here live on Almost Entirely Sports. Here's what we are going to do. We're going to talk to Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 in just a little bit about a bunch of Chiefs stuff. We're going to have Tamara Day from HGTV. We actually talked to her just for, total clarity. We talked to her last week and got it in the can and going to get to bring it to you here tonight. She was great. She's the host of Bargain Mansions on HGTV. And we talked about all sorts of stuff about how to manage your space and what it's been like making that show. They have a new season starting very soon. And it was all a very good time. So that's going to be the almost to tonight's Almost Entirely Sports. And it has nothing to do with anything actually happening right now. But talking to her was a delight. So we'll have her at the beginning of the second hour. Also talk to David Leske of Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review about some of the fun stories that came out of this baseball season, both within the division conference That's where my head's at right now. We're very football heavy at the moment. Things that have happened in the division this offseason, both from the White Sox and Tigers, and also the madness out of the World Series, what the Royals did this year, all that. So we'll have a nice little look back at the baseball season as we play catch up there with Lesky. And it's Tuesday, so Seth Kaiser will kick off the 10 o'clock hour as he does every Tuesday that we have a show. We'll talk to him, of course, of The Athletic and the Chief of the North newsletter tonight. One thing that I will say as far as today's festivities, I actually went out and voted at Arrowhead Stadium. I wasn't really planning on it, but they were tweeting out their line updates this morning, and they constantly said they had either a 0 or a 5 minute wait. And, you know, this has just been such a – I wanted to spend a second on this because it's been such a topic over the last really few months as the Chiefs have tried to figure out what are they going to do in the wake of, the George Floyd murders and players using their voices and their platforms in more active and kind of big swinging ways. The Chiefs said, hey, we're going to try to make Arrowhead a polling place. They did it. And I don't want to – I don't want to say that I was like skeptical or anything. I had a little bit of a wait and see approach, see how things would go and see if everything was all lined up by the time Election Day got here. And so I live in Jackson County, recently moved. I guess not recently anymore. Now it's been like 7 months, but this is my first major election. We did the primaries obviously a little while ago. But the process of going out to Arrowhead today was genuinely excellent. I mean, everything was moving like a well-oiled machine. Everything was open. There were literally no lines at 9 a.m. this morning, and the people who were helping, the poll workers they had, were excellent and helpful. Pulling into Arrowhead to go vote was kind of a weird, kind of cool feeling. And so that was a really nice experience, and have nothing but good things to say, nothing but hats to tip for the crew at Arrowhead who pulled that off today. Both the poll workers, the decision makers, Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu, everyone who had anything to do with turning Arrowhead into a polling place today. Just a full standing ovation. Mark Donovan, the Chiefs president, talked earlier today as well, and we're not going to bring you a bunch of that here on this show tonight, but he talked about, you know, they bought these voting machines, and they want to make sure they can continue using them. I was so thrilled to hear that, because as I was leaving Arrowhead today, I was literally thinking, like, this should never not be a polling place. Maybe if you think it's going to be a lower turnout, but man, having it be there as an option is going to help turnout, going to increase turnout, increase accessibility. It just... there was no reason not to go and knock it out in literally 10 minutes just to walk from the parking lot in to go up the escalator, cast your ballot, head back down again. It was literally like a 10-minute process to do the whole deal. And it was also an opportunity that I'd like for more people to have because, again, it was weird in a very cool, very positive way. So I hope that is an option for elections in Kansas City, period, from this point forward. Just really good work there from that whole crew. But seriously, that's going to be kind of the end of the election talk for tonight, as there are a lot of other things that are fun. And I also just realized that I didn't even grab a party popper. No offense to the Jets, I just forgot. I'll do that later. All right, sorry. The show has been totally off the rails tonight already, apparently. You'll have to find the Easter egg of when the party popper shows up. I'm literally going to make a note right now so I don't forget to get one, because I'm ashamed of myself. I'm so out of that habit. This is a totally new just jump back into the old schedule that we've had because we didn't have shows for so long. Disappointed in myself. But anyway, a few things from the Jets game that I wanted to talk about here tonight that you may have heard on the Sports Radio 810 WHP postgame show hosted by me, of course. We got to go through some of those things, but now we're a couple days removed from that game. And also the Chiefs trade deadline, they didn't add anybody. They shipped off DeAndre Washington. They got a 6th-round pick and sent Washington and a 7th to Miami. The Chiefs had 5 running backs in their active roster. It's Clyde, Le'Veon Bell, Darrell Williams, Darwin Thompson, and was DeAndre Washington in that order. You could have had Washington and Thompson flip after the fumble and after Darwin Thompson's fumble, and you could have had an argument there that maybe they even – I don't know how they felt about Washington versus Thompson. Thompson got back into the rotation, though, a little bit over the last couple of weeks, even with that fumble on the resume. So – acknowledging that there might not have been a huge dividing line between those two. At the very least, they found a buyer essentially for DeAndre Washington, and were able to get a draft pick in exchange there. And also, it seems like he'll have a little bit of an opportunity in Miami that he probably didn't have here. So, wish nothing but the best for him. And also, not a blockbuster by any means. The Chiefs just getting a late round draft pick. They can use that to move around or to maybe add a veteran in the offseason. Lots of things you can fantasize about with a sixth-round pick. The Chiefs have had some sixth-round picks turn into real players. So, we'll see if that ends up being consequential in basically any way whatsoever. But I have certainly no gripes. But the Jets game, it's kind of a funny space to occupy. Because the Chiefs were totally dominant, as they should have been, over a terrible team. 35-9. It's not a close game. Never felt like a close game. That is not an instance where it feels like the final score is, inflated by a late points or whatever. Nope. The Chiefs absolutely throttled the Jets all day long. They started off by accepting field goals where they should have been trying to score touchdowns. They couldn't score touchdowns anyway. The Chiefs did not maximize every single one of their opportunities, but it didn't matter. They're playing the Jets, and they did a lot of things very, very well. Here's what I am taking away kind of after zooming out a little bit. There are lots of little storylines that I think are fun. But one thing for me that I think you can take, even in spite of the fact that they beat a very bad Jets team, it was simply fun to see Patrick Mahomes have a game where he threw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, where you have some mind-boggling throws and you have an underhand bold touchdown to Travis Kelce. You had just to have the highlights and in the moments of here's this offense doing just circus bleep. Just straight up circus bleep. It was good to have that feeling back. It was good to see it again. Please don't hear me say, I was worried they had lost it. And now that they did it against the Jets, I think it's back again. Because both of those things would be really dumb. It would be really silly of me to say, I was worried that the Chiefs were never going to take deep shots again. And it would be almost sillier to say, they did it to the Jets. They'll do it to everybody. I just enjoyed it. I just had fun watching that game that I didn't in, I mean, maybe any game this year. There were different elements. The Texans game was just sort of like, Texans game had some weird energy. Maybe the Ravens game qualifies, but, you know, the Bills, they were dominant against. The Broncos, certainly. Maybe the Broncos are the answer for what other most fun games. But specifically offensively, it was just fun to see them having fun. Tyreek Hill was celebrating in the stands, and then Patrick Mahomes was carrying him. They had a fake punt with Tommy Townsend. Tommy Townsend threw a dart. You tell me the Chiefs weren't having fun in that game? Absolutely they were. And I just enjoyed seeing it. One thing that I think maybe can be, I don't know, something bordering a takeaway if you had any concerns at all about the offense. Patrick Mahomes has talked about the times that he's, to take this phrase, taken what the defense has given him. And it's a good thing to be able to do as long as you're doing it successfully and you're winning, obviously, right? It's great that they've been able to do that. This is not me leading up to it, but no, it's just that's a good thing to be able to do. But, I guess, all right, it wasn't me leading up to it, but. But if you only ever win that way for a long time, eventually you just sort of forget what else you have available to you, I suppose. And whenever that sort of starts slowly just kind of eroding, that becomes the norm. The norm for the Chiefs, that's probably a better way of putting it. The norm for the Chiefs was becoming, we'll take what the defense is giving us, which is going to be, they'll say run it and throw it short because they know that if they let us go bombs away, we're going to lose the game. Now, the Raiders did win in a high-scoring game, but even then, it wasn't just raining down, cannonballs from the sky. And I think for the most part, that's what you expect teams to do now. You expect teams to beat Travis Kelce with their helmets and to pay all the attention in the world to Tyreek Hill downfield. The thing so Mahomes, you know, has talked about that, and he's going to take what the defense gives him. Great. Do that, because if they're giving you a lot, you're going to win doing that. Love to see it. Fine with all that. Happy about it all. Cool, cool, cool. The one thing that maybe I got a little curious about was, okay, well, what happens in neutral situations? Whenever the defense isn't really selling out to stop one thing or the other, whenever they're not selling out to stop the run so you throw it over their heads, or they're not selling out to stop the deep ball so you run it, or they're not selling out to stop Travis Kelce so the game starts running through Sammy Watkins whenever he comes back, or a lot of the running game, or a lot of looking downfield to Tyreek Hill, whatever. Whenever you feel like you have advantages everywhere, what do? Now, to some extent, the Jets were trying to not lose like the Bills did. And so I do think the margin, I think they kind of erred in the, yeah, let's at least make them beat us the way that they're supposed to beat us, downfield, deep shots, all that. It wasn't a perfectly neutral situation, but it was the Chiefs against the Jets. So the Chiefs could have won pretty much however they wanted to in this game. The running game was not very effective whenever they did try to run it, and that's fine because they shouldn't have ever run it in this game. Like, that's totally fine with me, obviously. You probably know who I am and how I feel about things if you're listening to this show, so you get it. But they probably could have run the ball 45 times in this game and won it by, maybe they wouldn't have covered the spread, but they would have won it by two possessions convincingly. That's almost certainly true. But because they had opportunities to beat them however they wanted, that kind of creates a neutral-ish situation, and they were taking those downfield shots. It was bombs away, because that, as Patrick Mahomes has talked about over the last few weeks, he says, yeah, I'm still looking downfield. I still want the big plays. I like the deep shots. But if you're going to give it to us 7 yards at a time, we'll take it from you 7 yards at a time. Whenever the Chiefs had the opportunity to try to grind it out and win or take the shots and win, they took the shots. They were extremely successful doing that. So Mahomes ends up with 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, and Chad Henne finishes out his second consecutive game. That's great. And for me, the thing that, again, it just sort of the thing that warms my heart there is being reminded of the fact that Patrick Mahomes is a big plays first kind of quarterback. In a way that I don't know that anyone else is, at least not to that extent. Maybe you could say Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers that's where their eyes go first, that's what they're looking for first. And by the way, it's the best way to move the ball if you can do it efficiently. And then you get these absolutely bat-bleep crazy stats with Patrick Mahomes, where he has 21 passing touchdowns and one interception that came at the end of the game on fourth down on a play where Travis Kelce might have run the wrong route against the Raiders, a pick that barely counted. You see him being able to play games that way, picking up those enormous chunks one after another in a way that doesn't endanger the football. It's insane. That just doesn't happen in the sport. Like, Aaron Rodgers' best year might qualify for that. What Mahomes is doing right now is just, I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling, and in the best possible, most fun possible way. So that to me was really fun and really exciting. Another thing is we've had a really weird last 3 weeks for Mecole Hardman, and it might even be weird to be mentioning him in the first segment, but it's just something that we talked about whenever we had a show, the first game after Sammy Watkins was out, where he just got absolutely zero increase in his workload in that first game. DeMarcus Robinson got all Sammy Watkins spots, all of his snaps, and it became evident in that spot, well, you know, Mecole Hardman does some things well. He's really explosive. I personally really like Mecole Hardman, but also he's not the Chiefs wide receiver 3 in the way that he'll just be the wide receiver 2 whenever the wide receiver 2 gets hurt. DeMarcus Robinson does that. Hardman seems like he's sort of the backup to Tyreek Hill in the way that Robinson is the backup to Sammy Watkins. That's a huge oversimplification, so please don't take that as law. But that, you know, that's a better comp. So he gets like no work in that first game with Watkins out. Well, then against the Broncos, he ends up with a couple of plays designed for him within the Chiefs' first 15. It was like, oh, well, this is, you know, they're really trying to get Hardman involved in the game plan, which, by the way, the idea that they have to scheme up things to ways to get the ball to Mecole Hardman, that's fine. That's okay. Like, if you have a guy that has an amount of talent like he does and you feel like you have to plan to get him the ball, that's okay. I mean, the best ones, I suppose, you can plan for or not, and either way, they're going to get the ball and be successful. It doesn't bother me any that you got to design stuff for Mecole Hardman, but he ends up with a couple of plays right out of the gate, and then it is pretty quiet. He led the team in receiving, but it was on two receptions, and then he had that one carry for 13 yards. So he touches the ball three times against the Broncos, has good chunks in all three plays, but still not like a high usage game for him. Also acknowledging that, as Andy Reid said, the Chiefs basically had 40 offensive snaps in that game. And it was even a little bit less once you start kind of accounting for game situation. So that sort of, you know, data point two for Mecole Hardman without Sammy Watkins. Against the Jets, he had 9 targets and 7 receptions. And the other two were drops. Like, that's not ideal. But he goes 7 for 96. Mecole Hardman doesn't have 7 catch games. That's great news and great usage and great to see some on a couple of instances where it looked like maybe the play was broken or breaking down. He and Mahomes link up and don't quite get that first down on that third and whatever it was, third and teens that they almost picked up. It's great to see that show up on film. In basically any context, Jets or otherwise, seeing maybe a little more trust or even just sort of testing that trust with Mecole Hardman. And as you go through those three games that all looked very different for Hardman's usage, I'm encouraged by that. I still don't know if, you know, next year the Chiefs' top two receivers are going to be Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, obviously plus Travis Kelce, or if they're going to try to find a more traditional sort of receiver type that could do more of Sammy Watkins' things, or maybe they bring back DeMarcus Robinson for another year. I think those are all like reasonable. Those are all reasonable ways this could all pan out. I wouldn't bet on it in any particular direction at this point. I'm just glad to see that little extra boost for Hardman, because I think he's a really talented player, super explosive, who should be involved in this offense one way or another. We need to take a break here on Almost Entirely Sports. Again, if you want election coverage tonight, you can tune in to ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. We'll have election coverage down there from NBC all night long. It's running until midnight. We're only here till 11. That's going to be there till midnight. So you can tune in down there if you'd like to hear about the election and all the things that roll in over the course of the evening. But whenever we come back, we'll talk to Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 about a lot of those Chiefs and Jets takeaways. We'll make fun of the Jets. We'll look ahead to the Panthers. Talk about, I don't know what else. Chief stuff. We'll talk about Chief. Boy, that feels nice, doesn't it? Whenever we come back here on Sports Radio 810, we'll talk about Chief stuff.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
It just looks like one of the monkeys that you would imagine as an alcoholic.
Was he tried in front of his peers?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Yeah, Rudy. And the trial? No. Was bananas.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
More Almost Entirely Sports, more Entirely Sports even than usual. If you want some election coverage tonight, we've got NBC News over on 1510 AM and 94.5 FM, ESPN Kansas City tonight. Got a little bit of national coverage over there, if that's what you're looking for. But that's not what we're going to do here over the course of tonight's show. Tomorrow's a new day. Tonight, we're playing the hits. We're talking about the Chiefs and the Jets and all of the fun that came with that this weekend and the fun that may come in the weeks ahead. We'll do it now with Harold Kuntz of Fox 4. Follow him on Twitter at Harold R. Kuntz 3. Check him out again on Fox 4. I was blessed with the opportunity to help you guys in your Sunday morning coverage against the Jets. I hope I brought an appropriate sort of Jets-level intensity to that show on Sunday morning.
Hey, you can't overlook your opponent, Josh.
That's right.
That's exactly what you did. You did not overlook your opponent. You stared us straight in the eyes and answered our questions. and went from there. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful show.
Did the Jets game give you everything that you hoped for? Because for me, like, I just felt so good getting to see Patrick Mahomes do the bombs away thing again. And then having the Jets just be the absolute Washington Generals to Mahomes' Globetrotters made me very, very happy.
Yeah, I was telling somebody right before the game, it felt like a college homecoming, you know, bad opponent. People are there.
Yeah.
Not really interested in the game so much as they are. Just like, all right, let's get a couple nice plays.
Somebody
gets out hurt. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, I can only criticize maybe the run game just a little bit, only because the Jets kind of keyed on the run. And I think that obviously had to do with Greg Williams' personal vendetta against Le'Veon Bell. Like, he was like, look, I don't care how much we lose by, but that guy's not running for more than 10 yards today.
Yes.
And that's it. And, okay, mission accomplished, but you still lost by 35-9. So, it felt like a college homecoming. It was very much SEC. Game in November before rivalry week. Bring in Furman, bring in Chattanooga, bring in Western Carolina. You know, beat them up a little bit. You know, let them have a couple nice plays here and there, and then, you know, go ahead and win and make sure everybody's healthy. Next thing you know, Tyreek Hill's jumping in the stands, and Patrick Mahomes carrying Tyreek Hill on his back. So,
What did you think of the of kind of that strategy, I guess, be it Greg Williams against Le'Veon Bell or the various ways we've seen teams try to defend the Chiefs in the last several weeks? Like, we've just gotten such different strategies from varying teams. And as much as, like, I remember vividly Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, obviously, in his postgame press conference talking about, you know, the Chiefs just ran over them for 60 minutes. And a reporter asked him, like, well, did you think about doing anything differently to try to, you know, change things up? And he was like, well, honestly, it kind of worked. Like, we were in the game late. You obviously can't say that for the Jets, and the Bills are obviously a better team. But what have you found interesting about the way that teams have tried to defend the Chiefs over the last, I mean, really, this whole season?
It really just shows how the Chiefs are just a pick-your-poison team.
Yeah.
You know, you can even go back to the Denver game. It's like the offense is not at its best, but that's because the special teams are at a high level and the defense is at a high level.
Yep.
The Bills game, as you mentioned, the running game is at a high level, so the passing game doesn't have to be at a high level.
Right.
You want to play them deep? Great. We'll just run right through you. And now they have Le'Veon Bell to run even more through you. He's still getting adjusted to playing behind a Chiefs offensive line. He's trying to go back to his Pittsburgh days where he's that patient runner. I don't think that's going to work here. So that's adjustments that need to be made. I look forward to seeing more of him against Carolina, because I think that's actually a very favorable matchup that he has coming up against the Panthers. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to play him deep, you're going to play your safeties deep, you know, you want to play regular old too deep, sure, we'll just run it down your throat. Now you want to pinch in? Guess what? We'll throw it deep. They have the talent to make it pretty simple, if you will. Like, nothing simple in the NFL, obviously, but in terms of you don't have to be very complex with it. You just say, like, all right, well, we have speed on the outside, and we'll go deep. Or we can nickel and dime you to death, and we'll just go 5 yards, 10 yards, hitch route, kind of like the way they beat the Houston Texans in the first game of the season. So it really is pick your poison. If you're a defensive coordinator, you just have to pick basically what you think will hold them to the least amount of points.
Hmm.
And right now, that least amount of points is 26.
Right, yeah.
So you know, going into a game, your offense, the opposing team offense knows, like, if I'm Carolina and I'm going into the game, or over the Jets, anybody, I have to score 30 to probably win this game. To have a real legitimate shot to win this game, I have to score 30 or more. And only one team's done that right now. And we figured out that was just a complete, total off game from the Chiefs, and they've moved on from that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's so much pressure to put on an offense, but there's literally, I mean, you would just be fooling yourself as an opposing offense to say, yeah, we can get this done with 24 or 27 or whatever. It's just simply not true. But also, I mean, we've seen this defense be legitimately good 7 times this year, and the Raiders game, I mean, like you said, I mean, that's the anomaly, clearly, and it's also the anomaly not just from the first 8 games of this year, but really through the last 17 games, I think, off the top of my head. I think it was basically 9 strong ones towards the end of last year and into the playoffs and everything. What are you attributing that to? What do you feel good about right now in terms of how good that Chiefs defense has looked?
I think we're seeing Dan Sorensen coming to his own now. You can tell he's played a lot more aggressive recently. I mean, he's getting fined for hits on Philip Lindsay now. I mean, he's really gotten aggressive because they could play freely. And I think when you grasp that Steve Spagnuolo defense, you got these guys who can play freely. They can play for turnovers. They can play for big hits. They can, the only thing that is a slight concern, and it's not really a slight concern, but I just think it's the way that NFL is. I mean, you want to pick on Rashad Greenland and Charvarius Ward, sure, but the fact of the matter is they've made less mistakes than they've made more mistakes. The only problem is, you know, when you get a deep route against you, then it seems like you made a huge mistake. Well, it's only one deep route that was allowed against the Jets. Like, literally only one. It was the first quarter. So, other than that, you know, they've had it pretty much covered up. But that is, if you trust your cornerbacks like that, if you trust Breland and you trust Ward, and, you know, I think Breland's finally gotten into that NFL game shape now, with a few games under his belt. Charvarius wants to get picked on, and, you know, he's accepted that challenge. But that allows guys like Tyrann Mathieu to act free. That allows guys like Dan Sorensen to run well. We haven't heard Juan Thornhill's name almost all year. So he must be doing something right. Like, we haven't even discussed him. Like, the other day I saw him warming up when I was at the stadium before the game, and I'm sitting here like, that's right, he still plays here. Because you just haven't heard from him, because he's just doing his job. And that's the best thing you could, that's the best thing you can possibly say about the defense, is when you don't hear from a secondary player, they're doing their job. Tyrann Mathieu is doing his job. Juan Thornhill is doing his job. Sorensen is doing his job, too. The only reason we're hearing about him more is because we're just like, whoa, Dan Sorensen making one-handed interceptions. Dan Sorensen doing pick six. You want to argue about the defensive line? I think I'm not too worried about Frank Clark and Chris Jones so much as they have so much defensive rotation there in depth. I mean, it could be Naughty with a rush. It could be Mike Danda with a rush. So, you know, as long as they affect the quarterback's timing and the quarterbacks they've played recently, you know, they affect their timing. And I'm sure defensive line had a little heart-to-heart after that Vegas game. But other than that, I mean, I point back to it's kind of like it's not a no-name defense, but it's a defense that's doing their job and they're playing free. And that makes a difference.
Well, I think, I mean, obviously Mathieu, most people know, but then you mentioned the Chris Jones and Frank Clark, and like, I'm also not, whatever, panicking. But I think they've been less impactful than their names and their, I mean, honestly, just like their cap hit, you know, would indicate. And there are lots of reasons for that. Again, I'm not trying to like, I have not picked up my torch nor pitchfork at this point. But even then, I mean, outside of those guys, it does get pretty quiet in terms of names that, that people outside of Kansas City would have heard from. I mean, the linebackers, I don't think a lot of people know who Anthony Hitchens is. I mean, Willie Gay obviously was exciting when he got drafted, but he wasn't even a huge name in college because he didn't play that much, and he's still ramping up. I mean, it really is kind of a couple of stars, and again, I'm not sure that Frank Clark and Chris Jones have necessarily played like stars, or at least gotten stats like stars this year, and everybody else, like you said, doing their job.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, though. Frank Clark, though, it's just fascinating just kind of watching him, chilling here, affecting too much. You know, there's a sack here or there. I believe he's at two, maybe three sacks the entire season. But, you know, he hasn't been a big factor. But, again, I'm not too worried about it because there could be some things more into play, the intricacies of Spagnuolo's defense that he's just accomplishing. You know about the run defense. You know, that's just going to be a thing. That's you know, that's a case now. Like, once you get a couple games under your belt, you're still that poorly ranked defensively, that's the thing to worry about. But again, we saw them have to worry about that last year when they were a poorly ranked defense. And, you know, Derrick Henry comes to town and he's held to 68 yards. So, I mean, you know, Frank Gore, you know, comes in. Now, granted, I saw on Twitter that somebody compared Frank Gore to a Revolutionary War hero, which I honestly laughed my butt off about that. But he came in and he had 10 carries for 32 yards. And I was like, weren't those 10 carries like all the first half? Like, yeah, they were. Like, eventually offenses just realized that's great. We can run the ball, but if they're going to score in 3 minutes, what's it going to be? We better, this 10-minute drive better be something. This better be something. And it forces you to be, like, you cannot do a field goal. It'll probably force you to a fourth and five at the 15-yard line that you're uncomfortable with doing. And next thing you know, they can use goal line defense and use the back of the end zone as the extra defender, and the Chiefs have the ball back. So, it's like the sum of all parts is working right now. Yeah. It just might not be the guys that, as you said, are the ones that are against the cap, like the Chris Jones and the Frank Clarks of the world, especially Frank Clark, because we're still in the second year of a big deal that he got.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't heard too much from him this year.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably doing his job. We're like setting the edge and a couple other things, but it's still like, you know, we haven't heard enough from him. I'd like to hear more from him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that breakout game is due. Who knows? Maybe it's coming up against Carolina. Maybe it's after the bye week, he looks at some film, sees some things, he comes back and they play the Raiders game where they're obviously going to be the use Tyrann Mathieu where it's pissed off when they go to Vegas.
Yeah.
That seems like a game that might be personal
mm-hmm.
for them. And it just happens to be on prime time, I believe. So that could get dicey. But, because they learned their lessons big time there.
I wasn't anticipating kind of having looking that forward to Chiefs-Raiders round two, but I also wasn't anticipating them losing that game. I don't know what the line for that's going to be, but it should be artificially inflated by just some pissed off points. Like, it should just, whatever the line is supposed to be, make it add four more for the Chiefs.
Yeah, they're going to be mad at that one. I mean, the schedule worked out pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You can't underestimate. Chris Jones will look at you with a straight face and tell you how great Carolina is. His cell jobbing with the Jets was immaculate.
Yeah.
And I expect everything the same. Like, he's gonna make you believe that Teddy Bridgewater is a surefire Hall of Famer. The return of Christian McCaffrey is going to be compared to the return of Moses at the Red Sea. who have you convinced that these guys are just coming off a Super Bowl loss to the New England Patriots with Jake DeLoma's quarterback?
Right.
So, and don't get it twisted about Carolina. They have one of the better secondaries in the league. They have three guys, I think, PFF rates the top 25 in quarterbacks. I think that'll be a great test. But again, that's why I think this is Le'Veon Bell's day, because their run defense is trash.
Yeah.
I think it's fifth or sixth ranked worst in the league, and I think this is the day that we see Clyde, and I think we see a real thunder and lightning coming up here on Sunday.
I just love that on a night where we will we've also had Seth Kizer on the lineup, that you brought the Old Testament reference. Really, just you as I believe Frank Clark said a few games back, you basically just broke into Seth Kizer's house and took his bleep. That's what just happened with you bringing the Old Testament reference. Really excellent.
I can't compare myself to the great Seth Kizer when it comes to the Bible, for obvious reasons.
Brought the heat, though. I'm not even saying you're like trying to deliver a challenge right now. I just think it was like a little bit. It was, you know, a fastball up and in. Just like, hey, I'm out here also. I want you to know I've got Old Testament heaters up and in as well.
I'm basically the minor. My knowledge of this topic is like the minor leaguer who comes up from Double A that got called for the bigs one day and said, "Hey, I can throw 92, all right?"
Yeah.
So respect that before you hit a base knockoff me after the fifth pitch. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, sure. That's fine. We're talking to Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 here on Almost Entirely Sports. You mentioned the running game a little bit, and we've talked about some of the places that, like, you know, you can ask questions about, like, hey, you know, could the Chiefs get a little bit better production at corner? And they're going to get L'Jarius Sneed back from injury. Could they get some more depth on the offensive line? They're going to get Mitch Schwartz and maybe soon Martinez Rankin back from injury. You know, could there be a place to try to improve? Trade deadline came and went today. The only thing they did was send away DeAndre Washington, who just never got run here. Sent him to Miami for a sixth round pick, and also sent a seventh back. Just basically traded up probably a handful of picks in the very end of this year's draft. What did you think of that move, and the fact that that was the only move that they made?
It's somebody in the running back room had to probably go.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they brought in DeAndre Washington to pretty much compete for the third string running back spot at the time with mm-hmm. Darwin Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And Darwin showed that he won that battle between the two before the season started. Now, of course, you know, Darwin had his mistakes with the Baltimore game with the special teams and the fumble mm-hmm. on a key possession. But he's back in. You think he's back in the good graces to at least, you know, be on the field now, and we haven't seen DeAndre. We did see DeAndre in some garbage time in Denver, but he was inactive this past week against the Jets, and I think that was kind of the decision that had been made. It was basically like, all right, guys, go out there. You're going to get some film, and we'll probably send you on your way. So it needs to be done. I mean, you bring in Le'Veon Bell, that running back group, you know something's going to happen, and DeAndre was their choice to send to Miami, who they will see later in the year.
Yeah.
So hopefully we don't have the DeAndre Washington revenge experience game later in the year when it's 75 in Miami in the month of December.
Right.
and trust me, I looked at that Miami game the whole time. I was like, that is a major trap game because, you know, all week they're going to get questions about the nostalgia of Hard Rock Stadium and going down there. And now Miami, with Tua doesn't look great, but everything else in their team looks great.
Yeah. They
just beat a decent Rams team. So, and the way, who knows with the NFL season, we might have eight playoff teams by the time this is over.
Right.
And Miami's going to be sitting there at 6-8 competing for that eighth spot. And who knows what's going to happen. So, I think we said that about this entire year. Who knows what's going to happen. So, I like the move. I think, you know, with Darwin, you know, I mean, we're sitting here talking about the backup to the backup running back, obviously. But at the same time, I mean, they drafted him last year. You know, he's one of theirs. He's in-house. So you probably just defer to the in-house guy and say, all right, keep going, bud. But you got to learn eventually or else you're going to be packing too.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, clearly there was something they liked enough whenever they picked him that, you know, that doesn't bother me any. I'm not worried about it. One other thing, I mean, you mentioned, like, the fact that the playoffs could expand and, like, the AFC East, the NFC East has been such an absolute dumpster fire nightmare that keeps staying on primetime that, like, that is clearly the division to just absolutely dump on, rightfully so. But the AFC East is weird because the Bills have had a couple of kind of rough moments, but they're clearly the best team there. Like you said, you mentioned the Dolphins, the Patriots, I think, stink, but not as much as the Jets, all of that. But that division is weird. Obviously, the Raiders got one on the Chiefs, but we don't think that they're legitimately a challenger. The AFC South, I can't place the Titans or the, and so I am always surprised to go, oh my God, the Colts are 5-2. Like that doesn't make sense to
very
me.
Very quiet this year.
Super quiet.
Very, very quiet 5-2.
So I mean they're tied for the lead in the division with the Titans, who just had a bad loss, and then you have the AFC North that has two really good teams, and then the Browns that are, you know, also kind of hard to read. But with the issue with the playoffs and still some stuff up in the air, obviously the biggest thing is that there's only one first round bye for that number one overall seed. The number two seed right now doesn't get a bye with the way that the playoffs are constructed as we speak today. What do you make of the rest of the conference and kind of some of the things that we saw from it this last week and the Chiefs' place in it vis-a-vis, especially the Steelers and Ravens?
Well, it's funny because when you look at the way the schedules operate, it kind of reminds you a little bit of college where you're like, all right, well, look at the schedule. Mm-hmm. You know that, let's take Clemson. You know they're going to have two tough games this entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been, like, before the season even started, they're, like, circling Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know that's going to be a tough game, but, like, the others, this is kind of what it's like with the Steelers right now. The AFC North got the extreme advantage of being against the NFC East this year. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs were 1 year late to that. They'll get the NFC East next year. So due to that, we have to watch a prime afternoon game between the Steelers going to play Ben DiNucci and the Cowboys. also still under schedule is the Washington team.
Yes.
And I believe they still got the Giants, too, if I'm not mistaken, or they may have already played them. I know they already played the Eagles.
I can't remember.
And then you add into the fact that, you know, because, you know, they're middle of the pack last year, playing with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph, they got the lower tier teams in the AFC, other AFC division. So, it's kind of how it works out. You know, I like the Steelers. I like the way they play. I mean, that was a good win against the Ravens. They forced Lamar Jackson to four turnovers. I think Lamar Jackson really needs to go back to the drawing board and learn, you know, look, we got a great running game, but my passing game needs to step up. He has the capability, but he's kind of having that same type of what you think is a regression year, even though statistically it's not, that Patrick Mahomes had after his MVP season last year, you can kind of tell. It's like, wow, Mahomes isn't playing up to such that high MVP level that we saw him at, where it's 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. And now it's like, only 40 touchdowns and 4,000 yards.
Right.
Which is still very, very, very good, which is kind of what Lamar Jackson's doing. He's like, oh, look at all the stats he's put up last year. And this year, like, he's still putting up stats, but it just doesn't seem to, click.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys where you look at it and you're like, oh, yes, 21 touchdowns and one interception.
Yep.
Huh?
Right.
But it doesn't pop on paper like Russell Wilson, even though he's sitting there throwing three interceptions in the game against the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't pop on paper. Because just like in baseball where chicks dig the long ball, people dig the home run ball, and Russell Wilson's throwing a lot of those, and Patrick Mahomes is just being like, hey, as long as we win and I get out of there safe, I'm fine. I don't really care. So, Russell probably feels like he has to do that. I mean, when you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, you probably can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming a matter of, when you look around the schedules of the league and you see that the Steelers still got NFC East teams. I mean, our Thanksgiving schedule this year is Bears-Lions, Washington versus Dallas, and then we get real football when Pittsburgh plays Baltimore on Thanksgiving night, and I think that's going to be a true determining factor. Does Baltimore go to Pittsburgh and return it a favor?
Yeah.
That's Pittsburgh's really there. That's really their only tough game left on the schedule. They play the Bills. They play the Colts. Pittsburgh looks good. I'm not saying they're going undefeated. They'll slip up in a game that we don't expect them to slip up in, a la like the Chiefs with the Raiders. But they look good. I mean, you look at them, and they got credentials. Mike Tomlin's a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger's a two-time Super Bowl champion. I mean, they have credentials. Like, no one's saying that organization's about as well-run of an organization as the Chiefs are.
Yep.
In terms of consistency, every year in, year out. I mean, obviously they've had their problems off the field with a couple guys, but year in, year out, the Steelers are a well-run organization. They've been well-owned for years. That's why they have a national fan base. So I think that those two guys are on a clear path to facing each other. But there's going to be some bumps along the way. I mean, I still feel the Chiefs might slip up in one. We're just sitting there scratching our heads. I think the Steelers are going to slip up in one or two, too, where we're scratching our heads, too. So, you have to respect a team that's come off two straight wins at Tennessee, at Baltimore. You have to respect a team like that.
And so they opened their season against the Giants, and I'm not going to shout you down for forgetting that absolute barn burner. But after that, the Steelers...
There you go. Yeah, week one in the NFL season seems like 5 months ago.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, this season has both gone by kind of weirdly fast, and also that happened a lifetime ago, but time doesn't matter anymore. Their schedule from here on out is Ben DiNucci. The Bengals, maybe they have the Bengals twice. Maybe the Bengals get one. They looked good last week, but it's Bengals, Jags, Ravens.
Yeah,
I like them, and I think maybe you get that little, sassy Joe Burrow to keep showing up. But yeah, Washington, Bills, Bengals, Colts, and Browns. Again, I mean, I don't know why. I don't know if this is fair or not. I kind of keep waiting for the Steelers to look like a little bit fraudulent, or at least not to be, a clear-cut favorite. I think I'm just kind of waiting on Roethlisberger's arm to, prove itself a little bit. But
yeah, that could happen, too. That's definitely happened, yeah.
Yeah,
like
so,
a Brady effect from last season. Yeah.
I'm kind of expecting. I feel like sometimes he looks like he's heaving it like Philip Rivers, but also Philip Rivers is winning games now. I don't know. The NFL's weird because everything is weird, but I don't think they're going to go undefeated. I think that would be genuinely shocking. And when's the last time something genuinely shocking happened? Never. That's never happened in sports or otherwise. It's all very normal year, very normal sport.
It's not happening. I don't think we're going to see an undefeated team this year. And again, it's always those games where you just like, oh, wow, they lost that game. Like, that came out of nowhere. And
that's what it was for the Titans last week. I mean, like, I was – because the Chiefs had – it was noon. Yeah, because I had the noon kickoff, and we had the post-game show right after, and then I went straight home and did a podcast and and did I honestly can't even remember everything that I did immediately after the game. And by the time I got to, like, wrapping up my workday, I was looking back and going, wait a second, the Titans lost? What? Really? Are we sure? Did that? Okay, sure, NFL. Yeah, go off.
Well, you know, as someone who grew up in Tennessee,
yes,
I could tell you that every now and again the Titans will lay one down that you're just like, what? Okay, sure.
The Bengals? The Bengals, are you sure? The Bengals, are you sure about it? Okay, all right, whatever, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Harold, thank you very much for taking some time out with us tonight, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Hopefully we get another, I don't know, what other teams do you like to laugh at on a regular basis that can inspire us to bring you back again? The Chiefs have the Falcons. The Chiefs have the Falcons. That game should be funny.
Yeah, that could be funny. That could be funny. It depends upon what they're doing at that point.
That's true.
Have they, like, fully given up on the season? They just come here and they're just like, well, we just came because we were told to come here and bring jerseys.
Right.
Also, it's like 22 degrees outside and we play in a dome and this stinks.
That's true. Oh, yeah, that's like the – oh, yeah, I'm not even going to be in town for that. That's the one post-game show this year that I'm just like, hey, everybody, I'm gonna be in Florida while everybody's getting real cold here, and the Falcons have to deal with this. So we'll talk to you before the Falcons game, then. I can promise you that. Thank you, Harold.
That's awesome. Yeah,
Harold Kuntz of Fox 4. Follow him on Twitter at Harold R. Kuntz 3, and check out Fox 4. Also at Fox 4 KC on Twitter. More Almost Entirely Sports after this.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The liners are not for my hot takes. The rest of the show is for my hot takes.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks again to Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 for joining us here tonight on Almost Entirely Sports. Another reminder, if you're looking for election coverage tonight, go check out ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. We got you covered over there, and you can hear NBC's broadcast coverage over on ESPN Kansas City all night long. Also, I told you there's going to be an Easter egg surprise partway through this show. Woo! There's the party popper. I forgot to do it at the beginning of the show. The fact that it is the win, celebrating the win over the Jets, forgetting to do it until like an hour into the show, pretty much. That feels kind of right. I feel okay about that. That feels fitting. Poetic, if nothing else. I'm literally just shoving the confetti immediately back into the party popper because this one doesn't really feel like, doesn't really feel like a super worthy trophy, if that makes sense. Still smells like gunpowder in the studio, though, which is always sort of jarring. What we're going to do here, we'll take a break and then come back. So far, that makes sense, right? What we're going to do here is we're going to take a break and then come back, is what I said. We're going to do radio. We're going to keep doing radio. But on the other side of this break, we'll talk to Tamara Day. She is the host of HGTV's Bargain Mansions, and we had a chance to catch up with her a little bit earlier about the show, about that filming process, about trying to get you some tips to make your living situation better, simply better. Also, she'll tell us a little bit about what she's working on with the new show coming, new season of the show coming very, 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 very soon. So, Tamara Day of Bargain Mansions on HGTV, also a local to the Kansas City area. She is next here on Sports Radio 810.